So R.G. Lee, a famous pastor, and he asked this question. He was preaching before a church, and he brought up this question, and it startled and shook the church. I mean, this was a question that was changing, life-changing for them, and it really opened up their eyes to the power of this question, really, and what it meant. And he simply asked the church this question. He says, "What have you done today that nobody but a Christian would do? What have you done today that nobody but a Christian would do?" Listen, that is a powerful question, because as we live in a world of craziness at times, in this culture that is always changing, we are called to be different. You know, it's so easy to blend into the culture, and quite frankly, I'll just be honest and say for some and many churches in the world today, we've blended so much into the culture, into the world, you can't tell any difference anymore. But that's not what we're called to do. We are called to be different. And listen, it's not just a calling, it is who we are. So as a believer, whether you like it or not, or whether you claim it or not, the reality is if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, you're an alien to this world. You are automatically different and uncommon from this culture. And so I believe it's important as we talk about being a Christian and un-Christian, let's talk a little bit about what it means to be uncommon in this world. And what does that look like for us as believers? And so if you would open up your Bibles to John chapter 15. We're going to be reading out John chapter 15 as we look at being uncommon. And I believe just an incredibly powerful passage that I believe talks a lot about who we are in Christ and the power and strength that we can have in Christ, the life we have in Him, and who we are. So I believe as we look at this passage, we can draw from it a lot that deals with being uncommon and what that looks like for us. So we're in John chapter 15. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 8 this morning. If you are able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? John chapter 15, starting in verse 4, and we'll go 4 through 8. This is what God's Word says: "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that's in your word. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. Work and move in this place and in us so that we would never be the same. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want you to make sure you just keep your Bible open to John 15. Just kind of keep that open. If you have your phone, you can look at the notes on your phone. We'll be putting those notes up here on the screen also. But just have that passage and really John 15 in front of you. I'm going to be looking at some verses before and some after what we read. And as we talk about being uncommon and what that looks like for us, don't miss this passage and the reason why this passage is so important. This passage comes at a perfect time. God's timing is always perfect, and there's a reason that it falls in line with where it is. We know that just before this, we know that Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. We know that he had had that last meal with them and instituted the Lord's Supper, and now he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so in just a day or so, he's going to be arrested, and he's going to be hung up on a cross, and he's going to die. And so these words that he is speaking to his disciples are vitally important for the time. because what his disciples are going to experience in the days to come, in the weeks and the months to come, is almost overwhelming for anybody. And now their leader will be gone, physically gone from the earth. And so Jesus was really sharing with them the secret and the power that will be available to them in their life as they walk this faith journey with through persecution and through the ups and downs of the faith. And so he shares these words with them. And really this is about this connection, and we'll get to that in just a second. But if they're going to make it through and live out their faith, they're going to do it because of Jesus, that they're not going to be alone. And I hope that this passage, as we talk about uncommon, is an encouragement to you. Because let's face it, we know that we're walking through this journey. It can be pretty hard at times. And this passage really tells us a lot about the joy we have in Him. It talks a lot about what we have in our relationship with Jesus and the fact that we're not alone. And so for the disciples, this is powerful to them. This is important to them. And whether they realized it or not at the time, probably later on they can look back and think about it and understand it and be, wow, this is exactly what we need, and this is essential in our faith today. And that's the same for us. So I want to take just a moment as we look at this idea of uncommon and take the passages from John 15, and let's look at this because I believe it's encouraging to us. And so I hope it is to you, and you can walk away this morning with encouragement and strength as you live out your faith. The first thing is this, that uncommon Christians have an uncommon connection. Uncommon Christians have an uncommon connection. How do we live out our faith differently? How do we answer that question from R.G. Lee that says, what did you do today that's different than anybody else? Because you're a Christian. Well, because we have an uncommon connection that the world does not have. The world that does not know Jesus does not have this connection. We have an uncommon connection. Here's what it says as we look back in verse 5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Can I just start off by saying, let's realize this morning that this connection that we have with Jesus, this connection that we're talking about, is so vital that we can do nothing apart from Him. Recognize this morning our need for Jesus in our life. And so as we talk about an uncommon connection, I want to look at two parts of this. What is this connection that I'm talking about? One is this. We have a connection with our God. We have a connection with our God. Now, that may seem kind of flippant to say, well, yeah, that's understandable. But let's think about this just for a little bit. When we say we have a connection to our God, what we're saying is this. The God of all creation, the one who has put all things into motion, the one that's in charge of all things in this world, that has everything in his hands, that is our God. And we have a connection to our God. Here's what the very first of that passage says, and I want you to look at it again in John 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And listen, that in itself is a very powerful verse. Because what it's saying is Jesus saying, I'm the vine. But he's saying God is the vine dresser. He's in charge of all things. Listen, that's amazing. And naturally, because of sin in our life, there is a disconnect between us and our Heavenly Father. But because of Jesus, and because Jesus died on the cross, because Jesus shed His blood for the forgiveness of sin for all people, because of Jesus, when we come before Him and ask Him into our life and we trust Him and have faith in Him and follow after Him, listen, this relationship, salvation that comes only through Jesus, because of our salvation in Him, we have a connection with our Heavenly Father. And this connection is life-changing. This connection is powerful and always moving us. And because here's the picture. The picture of God as the vine dresser. preparing the orchard, preparing the vines and the branches, pruning them, helping them grow to bear much fruit. You see, that's the connection we have with God. We are not walking alone. Listen, you may be having all kinds of things in your life that are difficult, and it raises all kinds of questions in your life. Can I just encourage you today and say, you don't have to do that alone, because we have a connection. If you know Jesus, you have a connection with our God who is working and moving in your life. Listen, God, in essence, He feeds us spiritually. He grows us spiritually day after day after day. This connection is not just a stagnant connection, but it's God moving and working in us daily as we trust in Him. That's what it means to abide, that we are living and walking in Him and trusting in Him through our relationship with Jesus. Listen, we have a connection to our God. But listen, we also have a connection to each other. And I don't want you to miss this. Look at verses 12 through 14. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Listen, I love this picture, really a picture of the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and for me. And we celebrate the fact that Jesus loved us so much that He gave His life for us. But this connection that I love is that I love to talk about is this connection that we have not only with our Heavenly Father, but this connection with each other. Listen to what it says. It says this. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." You see, not only do we walk with our Savior and our God, who spiritually He grows us and prunes us and gives us all that we need in this life, gives us the strength and the power to live out our faith. But listen, He's also working and moving, and so that we are connected with others around us so that we might love them as God loves us. See, I think don't miss the importance of this passage, that it talks about connection with God and in the same breath talking about the commandment to love others. Because the reality is, we understand that there's a world out there created in the image of God that we are to love. And I think it's important that we see how Jesus loved us. Jesus sacrificed for us. When we talk about this love, this is not an emotional, feel-good kind of love that He's talking about. But He's talking about sacrificially giving to others. And that means that they may not give back. It means that they may not love back. But we are called to love because we are connected. There is a connection there because of God and how He's created us. So I want to encourage you today. You are connected. If you are a believer, you have an uncommon connection with God and with others. Not like the world, but only through and a picture of who God is. You have an uncommon connection. But listen, as we look at this passage, another thing about uncommon Christians. Listen, uncommon Christians have an uncommon calling. You have an uncommon calling on your life. It says this in verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Listen, everyone in here, and should be great news for all of us. This should be encouraging to all of us. You have a calling on your life, a purpose for you to live out because of the connection you have with God. You have an uncommon calling in your life. And listen, I look at verse 8. So I want you to look at verse 8 and keep that open. You can underline it. And listen, I can pull out really three things that's talked about in verse 8. And again, it kind of pivots all around the middle one. But I want to hit all three because I think it's all a part of the calling that we have. And the first thing is this, is that we are to reflect God's glory. We are called to reflect God's glory. This is what it says. It says this, "By this my Father is glorified." Listen, we are to reflect God's glory through how we live and how we speak. In other words, we want people to see Jesus in us in all that we do. That's our calling in life, to reflect His glory. I love when the lights go out and it's nighttime and you can look up and you see the stars that God placed in. You see the universe around us. You see the planets up in the sky, and it's amazing and glorious. And matter of fact, you're going to Utah last week and just seeing the mountain ranges and how beautiful that is. Listen, we can look at those things and we say, wow, man, God is amazing. And we give glory and praise and worship to God because of what He has created. But can I just tell you, His greatest creation is you. And our goal in life should be this, that when people see us and see our life and how we live and how we speak, they should look at us and give praise to God. We should reflect His glory to the world. So the problem with that is this, and this is something that I struggle with as much as anybody else. To reflect God in our life means that God is what we're filling up our life with. You know, many times we reflect what we worship. And so if we're worshiping family, worshiping other job, whatever it may be, that's really what we're going to reflect to this world. And we have to be very careful. Can I just say that in our life today, we need to be reflecting God. Many people in this world, and I don't know if you're there, I might have been there in my life a time or two, but we begin to reflect maybe the actors, the movie stars that we watch, or we reflect listen, I love going, or not getting to go, but I love watching the parade, the Braves parade. That was pretty exciting, right? Especially when they're going 100 miles an hour down the road. That was awesome. And so that was a great celebration. But what I fear, and listen, I love baseball. I love the Braves. I'm a Texas guy too. That's what's really funny. And I was so thankful the Braves won. It was great. My Texas friends that are watching right now just disown me. But so thankful for that. But can I tell you, there are millions of people probably that what they're reflecting right now is Freddie Freeman. Because that's their hero. And listen, there's nothing wrong than playing baseball like Freddie Freeman. That's awesome. But our goal as believers is not to reflect a professional athlete. It's not to reflect a movie star. It's to reflect God. And so are we allowing God to be everything in our life? Are we feeding our heart and our soul with God and who He is? Or are we allowing the world to creep in and now we begin to reflect the world? Listen, we reflect what we worship. And we need to be very careful because we have this great calling to reflect God's glory. But also it goes on, listen, we also are called to bear much fruit. This gives God glory that we bear fruit. And what does that mean to bear fruit? Well, Galatians, we can look in 5:22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen, there is this truth of a spiritual Christian character fruit that is developed in our life. Listen, that's a part of fruit. And we're called to bear fruit. We're called to have that integrity that the gospels speak of and scripture speaks of. We're called to have peace and joy in our life. We'll talk about joy in a bit. But we're called to have, listen, this character fruit in our life and it growing and becoming stronger and more visible in our life. But also we're called to really in the way we act. Colossians 1 says this, lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him as we bear fruit in every good work. We're called to bear fruit by how we conduct ourselves, how we work and serve other people. We're called to bear fruit. But also we're called to bear fruit in another way. And really this is why a part of L4 is sharing the gospel message, having gospel conversations. We're called to bear fruit by leading others to Jesus, by sharing the gospel and leading others to Christ through the words that we share. We have we have the responsibility and the privilege to bear fruit by leading others to the Lord. We are called to bear fruit. But then it ends with this, as we look at this passage again, is that God is glorified. We are to bear fruit. But also, listen, we're called to prove to the world that we are disciples. So we are called to be authentic disciples. We're called to be authentic disciples. You know, in Scripture, it doesn't say, make sure you have a church membership. But what it does say is, be a disciple. Be a follower of Jesus, a disciple that is growing and learning about Jesus and growing in your relationship with Him. We are called to be authentic disciples. And this is pretty powerful for us because, listen, the world today needs to see not just churchgoers, they need to see disciples of Jesus. That's what the world needs to see. They need to see real believers following after Jesus, giving their life for Him, serving Him, and loving Him every single day. That's what's going to change this world as we live out our faith in such a powerful way for all people to see. We're called to be authentic disciples. But the last thing is this, as we talk about uncommon, and I want you to look at verse 11. Uncommon Christians have uncommon character. Uncommon Christians have uncommon character. So I'm going to go back to this idea of character and look at verse 11. I can't move on until we look at this verse. I believe it's so important. Verse 11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Man, I love this verse. Because we talk about uncommon Christians. Can I tell you what an uncommon Christian looks like? In the midst of trial, in the midst of a storm, an uncommon Christian has uncommon joy. Now listen, this is big because we all walk through times of hurt and we've all walked through times of despair. And if you haven't, you will. And if all you're leaning on in life is just to be happy, listen, that's going to be gone in an instant. Happiness is so fleeting, but listen, joy that comes from the Lord is everlasting and listen, it's strong and it's powerful. And for Jesus talking to the disciples, listen, He knew that joy would get them through the days ahead. And can I encourage you, church, and say for us as believers, if we're going to continue reaching this world for Him, if we're going to continue making an impact in this world, what we need is not a bunch of happy Christians, which that's great. What we need is a bunch of joyful Christians. Joyful Christians in the midst of heartache, in the midst of good times, in the midst of hard times. Joyful Christians that walk through every scenario celebrating God even in the midst of a storm. I watched a video last night and got sent to me and it was of Tony Evans and Tony had just lost his niece and had lost his brother just before that. Later, he would lose his wife also. And listen, they all set up on the stage, him and his family. That they were all standing up there broken because they had just lost his niece hours before that. And they asked him questions. They asked Tony Evans, how do you do this? How do you get through this? And his answer was, listen, it's the joy of the Lord. It doesn't just come and go with a whim. It is ever present. It's hard and it's difficult and it's sad and we grieve. We shed tears, but the joy never leaves. Can I just encourage you today, church? Do you have joy? And if you do, listen, allow the joy of the Lord to be your strength. Look at this verse just for a moment, and I want you to look at it. And let's get your pencils out. I want you to underline it because I think there's two things about this that are powerful. It says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you." First of all, I want you to underline that. That my joy may be, listen, this is not joy that comes from this world. This is not joy that comes from a hobby. This is not joy that comes from a preacher. This is joy that comes from Jesus. That my joy may be in you. My joy And listen, whenever we hear the words from Jesus of my joy, let me tell you, it doesn't go away. Jesus always stays the same. My joy in you. If you're working hard to cultivate some joy in your life, can I tell you just to rest a little bit and let the Lord fill you with joy? You know, there are all kinds of things that we do to make ourselves happy, but only joy comes through the Lord. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Listen, we are a new creation in Christ, and because Jesus lives in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, listen, joy comes from Him. But listen, also it says this, underline this, that your joy might be full. Underline that. That your joy might be full. And I believe this is important because if it says that your joy might be full, I have reason to believe that people are walking around without full joy. And Jesus says the right way to live, listen, is that your joy may be full in Him. I had coffee this morning. I had a little bit of coffee, a whole lot of cream, and a whole lot of sugar. Listen, we live our Christian life like that. Little bit of Jesus, a whole lot of hobby or family, and a whole lot of... Listen, that's not full joy in Jesus. And can I just say, if we're going to walk this world in Him and stay strong in our faith, may your joy be full. May it be overflowing full from Jesus. Listen, that's an offer to you and to me. Jesus doesn't just say this in passing and doesn't say, man, I hope your joy is full, and He just walks off. Listen, He knows that He's the answer and it can happen. If He says it, He can do it. And if He says, may your joy be full, listen, your joy can be full in Jesus. Do you have fullness of joy in Jesus? Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In Jesus, there's joy. Church, the world needs to see uncommon Christians that have uncommon connections, have uncommon calling, uncommon character, not like the rest of the world. If you're working hard to fit in, if you're working hard to blend in, let me tell you something. You're missing out. Because real life is found in being uncommon in Christ. Be different for Him. And think about the question. What will you do tomorrow that can only be done by a Christian? What are you going to do tomorrow that the world will look at you and give glory to God? Listen, that is an uncommon Christian. And may we all strive to live that uncommon life in Jesus.